today on It's Time.
This is why I believe knowing the Bible is your best defense against heresies that circulate today. You got to know God's Word.
Welcome to It's Time, the daily Bible teaching program of Mike Kessler, pastor of the River Christian Fellowship in Twin Falls, Idaho. Today, we're going through the book of Genesis. So, turn there in your Bible and follow along with Pastor Mike.
It's time these wounds to heal.
And so Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. Verse 20, seemed but a few days because of the love that he had for her. Verse 21, then Jacob said to Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go into her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to Jacob, and he went into her. So this evidently was at night. Women in those days, before they were married, and as they were coming up to it, are heavily veiled. And by the way, there's a lot of things that we have in our weddings today that are a direct result of Old Testament weddings. You know, I always think it's funny because I have done a lot of weddings in my life, being a pastor for over 40 years. And oftentimes you'll see in the wedding this hoop thing over where they're reciting their vows. How many people have seen the hoop? Okay? That's called a hoopah in the Hebrew. People go, oh, well, lovely, lovely decoration. No. No, what that is, that was a symbol that if you as a bride were married under the huppah, that your husband could never forcibly take you into the wilderness. In other words, you had the convenience of, as an example, living in Jerusalem and then to leave the comforts of a city and go live on the backside of the wilderness. Being married under the huppah was a covenant saying that you would always protect her and provide her with the finer things in life. It is interesting. If you read in Revelation chapter 4 and 5, you look, go back, you'll find in the Old Testament descriptions of heaven. What do you find in heaven? You find a green rainbow. Isn't that weird? A huppah. Isn't it interesting that the bow that God put in the sky for Noah was a symbolic of a huppah? And what was it over? A promise that God would never destroy the earth again with a flood. God in heaven, that huppah, as we meet our bridegroom someday in heaven, we have this wonderful promise that we will always be with him. And this is what Paul says. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. See, this is one of the great things that we have as we look at the symbolism. Well, another one of the symbolisms in the Old Testament is the bride was veiled until he said, I do. And so you'll remember that oftentimes the bride will walk down and she'll have a doily over her face. And they'll recite their vows, and then the minister will say, you may kiss the bride. So what he does is he pulls back the veil, and then he kisses his bride. You see, that is part of the excitement, part of all the things of being veiled, and now she's yours. Now, what is surprising here is that it was the switcheroo. Instead of getting Rachel for his 7 years of labor, he got the ugly duckling sister Leah. Now notice, it says, came to pass, verse 23 again, in the evening. So it was dark. They didn't have candles and LED bulbs and all the things that we have now for light. She was heavily veiled. Laban said, give this maid, Zilpah, to his daughter Leah as maid. So it came to pass in the morning, behold, it was Leah. Ah! You know, put yourself in his place for a minute. You go get married, in the morning you wake up and you go, what have I done? Well, kind of that's what happened. What have I done? And he said to Laban, I bet you that was the first thing. I bet you that was the first cell call of the day. What have you done to me? Was it not for Rachel that I served you? Then why have you deceived me? Wait a minute, right here. Let's reverse the tape a bit. Who deceived first? Jacob deceived his father in the birthright. Remember? Put on the skin of the animal, put on his brother's clothes so he'd smell like the field, cooked what his father liked. He's the one that deceived his father. Important to remember, what you sow, the Bible says, what? You'll reap. Here you find this very thing that he did concerning his father coming back on him now. What is this? You have deceived me. Well, Jacob, now you know how your father felt. Notice Laban said, it must not be done so in our country, to give the younger before the firstborn. Well, it would have been nice that you told me that. But he didn't. So, fulfill our week, and we will give you this one for the service which you will serve me another 7 years. Wow. So he said, okay, look, go on your honeymoon with Leah, though you probably don't want to. Go on your honeymoon with Leah. And when the week is up, then I'll give you Rachel and you'll serve me another 7 years. Now, this is probably, as far as I know, the first place in the Bible where credit is mentioned. He got her on a time payment, okay? He says, fulfill her week and you will give me service and you will serve me another 7 years. Then Jacob did so and fulfilled her week. So he gave him his daughter Rachel as his wife also. Now, again, polygamy was not prohibited in this culture. It was also evident at the time of Jesus and also with Paul, where he said a minister shall be the husband of one wife. He couldn't be a polygamist if he was going to be a pastor. And we find that it was a common practice in those days. Some people believe it was because of the wars. Many men were killed. The ratio of men to women was much lower concerning the men. And so it allowed a man to have more than one wife, to have kids and all those kinds of things. But it doesn't come without a price. You know, I know there's TV programs that sometimes glamorize this kind of thing, but it comes with a price. And you remember that Moses married Hagar, the Egyptian, the handmaiden of Sarah, and had a son named Ishmael with her. As the two children, as she finally, Sarah, gave birth to Isaac, we remember that they were always fighting, and Sarah came to Abraham and said, look, this ain't working. Get rid of her. The Bible says it extremely displeased Abraham. Why was that? Because he had married her. Isaac, yes, was his son with Sarah, but Ishmael was also his son through the bondwoman Hagar. Now, as we go into the New Testament, we find it as a picture type of the old, the bond, and that of the free. And we won't get into that right now. But the point was this. There was chiding in the home because of it. You're going to find it here as well. Notice it says, and Laban gave the maid Bilhah to his daughter Rachel as her maid. Then Jacob went into Rachel, and he loved Rachel more than Leah. And he served with Laban still another 7 years. Now notice verse 31, God sees it all. Now friends, I just want you to think about this for a minute. No one may know what's going on, but God sees it all. God, the Bible says, is a searcher of hearts and revealer of secrets. And here the Bible says, so when the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. God saw it, and God intervened. Now, as we read this, and I'm going to fast forward here just a little bit because a lot of people miss this when they study the Bible. He loved Rachel, but he did not love Leah. But you know, at the end of his life, at the end of Jacob's life, do you know who he was buried with? He could have been buried with Rachel, but he chose to be buried with Leah. It is interesting how time changes perspective. And he was buried with Leah. We'll get into that when we get up a little bit farther here. And it says, when the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. So Leah conceived, bore a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, the Lord has surely looked on my affliction, so now therefore my husband will love me. What a tragedy it is of what's called conditional love. I love you if. And by the way, if you're not a Christian here this morning, I will venture to say that's probably the only love you've ever known. I love you if. Madison Avenue, Hollywood plays on this. You'll be loved if you wash your teeth with new shiny bright. Unconditional love is a direct result of your Father in heaven. He loves you, period. That's good news. Loves you, period. Not that I performed a certain way that would cause God to love me. Now, why you say, Mike, is that important? Because when you get that principle, it will set you free from the law. Today, there are people that call themselves Christians that are trying to get you to go back under the law again. Well, God will really love you if you worship on Saturday. God will really love you if you don't eat that strip of bacon. God will really love you. And they have all these stipulations. That, friends, is conditional love. You need, I need unconditional love. And by the way, when you learn unconditional love from the God who gave love, you then can give unconditional love. You can't give what you don't have. If you have $1 million, you can give somebody $1 million. If you ain't got a nickel, you can't give somebody a nickel. If you have conditional love, that's all you can give. But if you have unconditional love, which sets us free from the law, this is why Paul wrote in the book of Galatians, he said, oh, foolish Galatians, chapter 3, he said, who has bewitched you? You begun in the spirit, are you going to be made perfect in the flesh? Because a group of Judaizers were going in saying, well, yeah, now that you're saved, that's good. But, you know, to really be saved, you got to worship on Saturday. Yeah, lay off the pork, friends. You got it. And they had all the Old Testament regulations again. Conditional love. For God so loved the world, period. It wasn't based on condition. And when we understand that, that's our defense against the Judaizers. That's our defense against the cults. That's our defense against heresy. Because I am loved, you are loved unconditionally by a God in heaven who was appeased through the blood of his son on the cross. It's paid it all. Jesus said it best. It is finished. Telestai. Last stroke on the painting when he says it's finished. God did it all. When somebody says, well, you've got to worship on Saturday, you can't eat pork. I go, why? I like BLTs. Well, because you'll be honest to God. I was talking to somebody that believes you have to worship on Saturday. And I said, what does it benefit me to worship on Saturday over Sunday, or if you're a one of those people that puts you back together again when you crash. Paramedic. Or if you're a fireman or a policeman or whatever, your day of rest may be Tuesday or Thursday or some other day. But I said, what advantage does it do for me to worship on Saturday over Sunday? And they said to me, and honest to God, this is what they told me, you'll be more saved. Wrong answer. You are either saved or you're not. When you know the truth, it'll set you free. When you're free indeed. This is why I believe knowing the Bible is your best defense against the cults, your best defense against heresies that circulate today. You got to know God's word. So, conditional love. That's all Rachel knew. Or excuse me, Leah knew was conditional love. Do you not think that Laban knew that? He goes, what am I going to do with my ugly duckling daughter? I know. We'll switcheroo. Yeah, he's going to be mad in the morning, but that's all right, because at least she doesn't have to live with me forever. Poor Leah. Do you know what? God sees the brokenhearted, friends. God sees the brokenhearted. A broken reed he will not break. A bent reed he will not break. A smoking flax he will not quench. What does that mean? If there's any life at all there, God will splint it. God will blow on the fire to make it burst into flames again. Here's why. Look at what it says. Leah conceived and bore a son, named his name Reuben, which means literally, see a son. That's what she named him. Look, look, Jacob, see a son. You have a son now. Notice it says, because the Lord has surely looked on my affliction, now therefore my husband will love me. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, because the Lord has heard that I am unloved again, he has therefore given me this son also and named his name Simeon, which means in the hearing of or hearing. She conceived again, bore a son, and said, now this time my husband will become attracted to me because I have borne him three sons, named this one Levi, which means attached. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, now I will praise the Lord. Therefore, she called his name Judah, and she stopped bearing. If you look at those three names, notice what it says. See a son, hearing, attached, and his name means praise. See a son, attached, see a son, hearing, attached, praise. It is interesting that Jesus Christ did not come through Rachel, the loved one, but came through Leah, the unloved one. God sees it all. God makes up the difference of what you've been dealt with in this life. Friends, we do know that some people have been born into this life with advantage, some not. But the God who sees it all knows how to make those things right because you belong to him. In fact, if you do. If you're not a Christian here this morning, you need to be. Because that's what makes the difference. Who's your daddy? Who's the supplier of what you need in your life? Who's the one that will deliver you from the addictions and all the things that go on in your life? Who will make time stand still for you to bless you? You see, that's what God does. This morning, if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, we're going to pray. And if you're tired of the last 10 years that you've had, and you go, I don't want that anymore in my life. God, I need a new start. I need a brand new day. God says his promises are new every morning. We're going to pray. And the Bible says, if we'll repent, turn away from the foolish, silly, stupid ways that we have tried to define our life and say, okay, God, from this day forward, I'm going to live for you. The Bible says God will do that. So if you've never prayed, you've never asked Christ in your life, we're going to pray right now. And you can ask Jesus to come into your life. Again, all the appeasement that the Father required was done in Jesus Christ. Not by me not eating pork, not by me not worshiping on Saturday, not by me doing anything else. Unconditional love. When she saw that she was not loved. Maybe you're that way today. Maybe you don't think you're loved. I got good news for you. There's a son that the Father sent to heal you and to restore you. And we're going to pray. If you've never asked him into your life today, let's do that. And God will change your life. He'll take you at your word and he'll change you. So if you need to pray, let's pray right now. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I invite you into my life today. I'm sorry of the foolish way that I have lived. And so from this day forward, I will live for you. I believe Jesus died on the cross for me. His blood covered my sins. And so now fill me with your Holy Spirit. Empower me to love the lost. Empower me to be bold for you. And most of all, God, give me that love for you every day that changes time. And thank you for eternity that I have to look forward to with you forever. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that, welcome to God's family. Begins with a prayer. God shows you your whole life is goodness. If you don't have a Bible, I'll give you one. If you have a Bible, you need to start reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John's a good place to start. John chapter 3. And just read. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. How do you know the real from the fake? Well, the more you listen to God, the more you'll know the devil's voice when he says, do something contrary to his heart. You see, acquainting yourself with God's voice, that's what makes the difference. The second thing, be in fellowship with other brothers and sisters. They're going to encourage you in your relationship with God. Do you not think that we all don't have hard days, days we're down? Thank God for the brethren, the fellowship of the saints that encourages us. Letting God be God is so important in your life. Letting him be first in all things. Before you make any decisions, the Bible says, pray about everything. If I'm going to spend money, Lord, okay, I might not really need this, so I ask you to close the door if you don't want me to buy that. You'll be surprised how many times God says no. Good, because God's got something better for you. Letting God be God, so important. Let him be the Father of lights that comes down to illuminate your life. He'll do that.
Thanks for joining us on It's Time, as Pastor Mike teaches verse by verse through the Bible. If you've missed a program or would like to catch up, you can do so by getting it from the It's Time podcast in the iTunes store or by downloading it from the It's Time website at theriverchristianfellowship.com. On behalf of Pastor Mike and the rest of us here at the River Christian Fellowship, thanks for listening and tune in next time for It's Time.